This is All Things Considered on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Jeff Tiberi. We're back to discuss the week in state politics. Mitch Kokai from the conservative John Locke Foundation is here, along with Rob Schofield of the progressive NC Policy Watch. Hi, guys.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff.
The contaminant Gen X again served as a political volleyball this week. Listeners will remember that the compound was being discharged into the Cape Fear River and getting into the Wilmington drinking water. This began last summer. According to state health officials who spoke at a legislative meeting this week, it's unclear what level of the chemical is in fact dangerous. The state agency, charged with overseeing environmental issues, has had its budget cut in recent years. Legislators have indicated that financial help is on the way. But this is water that we're talking about, and the issue is not new. Mitch, what needs to happen in the short term with Gen X?
Well, I think you have to see some sort of consensus among the General Assembly and the Cooper administration about what to do. I mean, what's going to be the plan moving forward? One thing to note about what you were saying in your lead into this is that last year was when we first really started hearing about the Gen X. I mean, there's been some discussion about this chemical being discharged into the Cape Fear River and ending up down there in Wilmington, going to the Atlantic Ocean for decades. So it's not particularly clear how long that chemical's been in the water and whether it's been something that's been a factor in any health problems in that area or not. So I think both the administration through the Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Health and Human Services and the General Assembly have been trying to wrap their arms around what is the level of problem of what needs to be done about it. I don't think they've reached any consensus. We saw that there was some action taken during legislative session last year, but everyone looking at that bill said that was just a start. And so I think we're trying to see whether they could come up with some sort of plan. And then almost everyone, even the Republicans who are tight on the budget, are saying there's probably going to have to be some sort of appropriation moving forward.
I have a real radical concept, and that's let's stop putting poison in our water. I mean, I don't mean to be facetious about it, but this has been going on for years. Gen X isn't the only compound. There are all these emerging contaminants that we're now finding in our water sources in counties throughout the state. Our own Lisa Sorg reported first that there was this emerging contaminant discovered now in Jordan Lake, which supplies water for the western part of the triangle. This is something I think that is a byproduct of North Carolina's disinvestment in environmental protection, disinvestment or decommitment, lack of commitment to tough rules. We have a statute in place that bars us from passing rules tougher than the federal government has, and it's just a part of a pattern. And I think we need immediate action. We need more money in the Department of Environmental Quality. We need tough rules. We need the process to move forward as soon as possible to get rules in place to stop these kinds of poisons from going into our drinking water. There's hardly any function of government that I can think of that would be more important than protecting the public from being poisoned by its drinking water. And it's absurd that we're messing around thinking about a study. Maybe we'll get together and study it for several more months. We know what to do. Stop putting the poison in the water.
Mitch, I'm not getting a real sense of urgency from you on this issue, but tell me why I'm wrong, or maybe you don't have a sense of urgency.
No, I think there is a sense of urgency, but I think it would be a mistake to tie what's been discovered about Gen X in the past year to this notion that it's all because of Republican budget cuts. I mean, if the environmental departments were staffed at the appropriate level under Democratic administrations years ago, why didn't they come up with the fact that this was happening decades ago when it started? And I think that's a convenient political ploy among those who would like to see much more funding for the environmental agencies. Now, perhaps the environmental agencies need more funding. It certainly seems as if they need more funding for this particular issue, whether that's new funding or funding moved from somewhere else. But I think a lot of people who are involved in this are getting caught up in this political debate where they really should set that aside and just say, okay, what is the problem? And let's find a good plan. Let's come up with a plan that we all agree works and then do something about it. And I think everyone on all sides of the spectrum pretty much agrees that that's going to take some more money somewhere.
But I would say it's not just about money. There's been a historical lack of commitment from Democrats and Republicans in North Carolina. Even Democrats, Democratic administrations have bragged, you know, about their business-friendly regulation or lack thereof for years in this state. And this is the kind of stuff that's going to happen when you don't invest in protecting the environment and you don't commit to strong, tough rules in a state that has an exploding population. It's well over 10 million now. It's only going to become more and more of a significant problem. We need a whole new recommitment to preserving what's left of our precious natural environment in North Carolina, and it needs to start today.
Lawmakers are back in Raleigh next Wednesday, but only for a day or two. As of now, nothing of significance seems imminent. What are you expecting, and do they really need to reconvene next week?
Well, you know, it's this continual pattern we have of the legislature sort of coming in, not telling us what they're going to do, not having any kind of open debate or process about what's on the agenda. Sometimes they show up and spring something on us we've never seen before. Sometimes they just come in and gavel out. It's now sounding like they can't get their act together for this omnibus constitutional amendment they've been talking about to remake our court system. So indeed, they may just come in and come out, which probably would be the best thing for the state of North Carolina. Our Billy Ball and NC Policy Watch reported yesterday, however, that Craig Horn, who's the chair of the House Education Committee, actually said there's a chance they could pass something to deal with this class size crisis we've gotten with the unfunded mandate for K through 3. Maybe that'll come up, maybe not. But at this point, as usual, nobody knows.
Whether there's a need is anybody's guess at this point. I think what has happened is the General Assembly, kind of like the way that they operated the last time they worked with the Democratic governor, and that was, let's not wrap things up in the July of an odd-numbered year and not come back until the May of the even-numbered year, giving the administration basically the sole control over what's going on with government. They kind of like that notion of, give yourself some option to come back once a month or so, once every couple of months, and take care of any legislation that needs to be done. And I think in this case, they have set a date, and they really didn't have any plan finalized to deal with things in January.
Sure. And I'm not trying to pick on you too much in this conversation, but you're a small government guy. If there's no reason to come back in, if there's no – and. There's nothing we can point to say that needs to be done next week. Isn't this unnecessary?
Yeah, and if there's absolutely nothing that's going to be done, what the General Assembly ought to do is just say, members, stay home. We'll have a skeleton crew come in, gavel out to another date. I think one of the things that is sort of up in the air at this point is that the General Assembly doesn't yet know exactly what the three-judge federal panel is going to do in the Covington case, which is the legislative redistricting case. And I've heard some rumblings that even if the General Assembly comes in for a day or two and doesn't do much, rather than gavel out until a couple of months later or wait until the regular short session would start in May, presumably, that they would perhaps gavel in and gavel out for three-day increments, waiting to see what happens from that three-judge panel. Because though it looks as if the three-judge panel might accept what comes out of the special master who was appointed to draw new lines, it's possible that the judges could say, well, General Assembly, you said you want another chance. Here's your other chance. Mm-hmm. They would already be in session. So that might be part of the process that's involved
Sure.
here as well.
Seems to me that that's a little pie in the sky, that they're going to get another opportunity here. There are, just as a reminder for listeners here, and this is likely only going to live on the web, four seats remain. There's some uncertainty. Three Guilford County seats and a Cumberland County seat, I believe, if I'm doing that off the top of my head right. Two House and two Senate. And what hangs in the balance here is, you know, the possibility of a supermajority going away. I think absolute best case for scenario for Democrats is that a majority in the House goes – somehow Democrats take back a majority in the House. That's, it seems like that has to be a perfect scenario. Mm-hmm. But that's where we're at with Covington. I've been told that they'll come back later this month, at the end of this month or early February, prior to the start of filing season, depending on what happens with Covington. So two random sense.
I think it's well. I would just say that, you know, I'm not opposed to the idea of the legislature coming into session regularly. I think these yawning gaps that we have built into the North Carolina structure are a flaw in our system. And in the modern world with a modern government, we need to have the General Assembly in session more often. I just think that we ought to have some open process, some actual proposals on the table. People should know what the session's going to be about. They should schedule hearings weeks in advance so we know what the agenda is, instead of just springing stuff on people at the last minute, which is the pattern that this General Assembly has been employing for many, many years.
All right.
And to add to that, one of the issues that Republicans, when they were in the minority, used to complain about was that during the gap between the long session and the short session, which could be months and months and months, that the General Assembly was still meeting, but it wasn't the full General Assembly. It was only the members of the legislature who the majority party liked. Mm-hmm. So it was their own, the people within their own caucus that they liked, and the small group of people among the Republicans that they liked who were on study committees. And that was a complaint from the Republicans, but they haven't built upon that to then do what something along the lines of what Rob is talking about, more regular meetings between the big long sessions, but having some sort of sense of what's going to happen during those meetings. That's something they could do.
Okay. Looking ahead, 2018 is an election year. There will be a short legislative session. We are thinking late April or early May until mid-July. Voters could see several ballot referendum questions, and other surprises are certainly coming up as well. What is the biggest political story on the horizon for each of you this year?
For me, I would say it's going to be what is the Trump effect.
Yeah.
I mean, Donald Trump is a unique person. Whether you like him, whether you're one of those Trump fans, or whether you really dislike him, he is a unique factor. If you looked at historical precedent, 2018 would be a very good election year for Democrats. It's the first midterm election for a new Republican president. You would suspect the Democrats would make some sort of gains no matter what. Donald Trump throws a whole nother monkey wrench into this because he is really firing up Democrats to be saying, we got to go out there and do something about Trump. And so that could add to the Democrats' gains. But we also don't know how Trump is going to impact Republican voters. There were a lot of voters who were big Trump supporters. There were a lot of Republicans who voted for him just because they didn't want to see Hillary Clinton. Are these people going to get excited about 2018? Are they going to be fearful enough of a Democratic wave that they turn out? So I think that's the big story. What's going to be the Trump effect on our elections?
Yeah, that was going to be my story, obviously. I think Donald Trump continues to dominate the news in America and in North Carolina and the politics. I suppose the other issue that occurs to me is how bold North Carolina Republicans will be. Will they continue to push aggressively forward with their agenda as they have in past years? Will they indeed pass constitutional amendments to put on the ballot in either May or in November? Or will they take the position, okay, we've got an awful lot of what we've done. We're going to settle back now. We're going to try and maybe distance ourselves a little bit from Donald Trump. Or are they just going to push to the max and really get everything they can, thinking that maybe the 2018 election is going to go poorly for them and this may be their last chance to really push their agenda strongly?
You may have gotten a little hint of their approach by the way that they approach this whole issue of the judicial redistricting slash judicial reform. When the Senate committee said, look, let's go ahead and set up a new select committee to take a look at all of these issues, rather than try to finalize a bill that would get put in front of the General Assembly for its meeting next week, looks like they're going to take a step back. I would suspect that at least one of the reasons is that they're saying to themselves, how big an issue is this to us? Do we really want to bite off something that we know we're going to get hammered about on this judicial front, or do we just want to say this is something to put to the side?
Rob Schofield is director of NC Policy Watch. Mitch Kokai is a policy analyst with the John Locke Foundation. Stay warm, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.